Thank you for your words in these moments, Lord. Thank you for speaking into our lives. It is a challenge again this morning from your word, and we thank you for that. It makes us stronger. But we can only do this, Lord, through you and through your Spirit. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking into our lives. In that amazing name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, the last in our 6-week series on love. How do you spell it? And remember what Pooh said to Piglet, you don't spell it, you feel it. So, as we come to the end, let me just do a little bit of a recap, because the one that Paul's dropping on us today is quite a heavy one. Remember right in the beginning when we started this series, I said the love that God speaks about, this agape love that I used last week, the sacrificial love, we said it's not natural. The jealousy and the boastfulness and the deceit and the pride come naturally. But when it comes to this sacrificial God love that we give so freely, it doesn't come that easy. We need God to help us do that. And we said, so this love is a gift from God's Spirit into our lives. We also said, and that's where we're going this morning, that it's not easy. Gerda, you actually wrote on the Facebook when Gregory posted the sermon, you wrote, great series, but so hard to do. And I think you just said what all of us are saying every week as we walk through this and hear God's expectations. And then I go back home and I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, man, do I fail in this. It's not always easy to love, because here's the thing, we're also always not that lovable. And the moment I say that, maybe you have someone in mind. Maybe someone has you in mind, or me. Love is not easy, this kind of love. Those words, we said it in the beginning, when people just say, I love you, it's not the same as this. Where it sacrifices, where it gives, where it doesn't take and ask, but just overflows in giving and giving and giving. Can you remember, Linda and James, when I did your marriage prep and we spoke about this? I said, in the old days, they said, love is a 50-50 give and take. I said, nope. Love that God gives us a 100%. Hard to do. So Paul makes it even a little more difficult. So let's read verses 4 to 8 this morning. I'm going to do 4 to 7 from the New Living and then verse 8 from the NIV. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. Doesn't make lists, remember? Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Remember we did the all things last week? Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And then verse 8, the one that we're going to do today from the NIV says, love never fails. That's kind of a tough one. Love never fails. The Greek words, and here we go with our Greek again. One of these days I'm going to walk in and say, Kalimera, Tikanis, and you're all going to be answering me back in Greek, right? The Greek word for, I just said good morning, how are you? The Greek word for never fails is the word pipto. Yeah, it sounds kind of funny. Pipto. It means to fall, but it also goes right back to its old meaning, a plant that was withering, and it's kind of falling over, and the leaves are falling, dies. It's over, it's done. Love never piptos, fails, dies. And you're thinking, Paul, in which world did you live? But hold that thought for 1 second, because I want us to notice two things about this love that Paul and God are talking to us about. The first thing, when Paul says love never fails, remember that God's love for us is not the same as the love that we try and live in this world. The human capacity to love often fails. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've lived it. Maybe right now you're living it. But God's love does not do that. It is so different from ours. Our love to each other in this world is so conditional. It's made on certain conditions and certain terms. If you do this, if you are like that, who you are, what you do, how you do this, how you do that, and then maybe I will love you. And then often that love still fails. God's love is not like that. It's not conditional. When God says, I love you, He doesn't say that because of how amazing I am, of all the good things I did, or the bad, or the ugly. God says that because when God looks at you and me, God sees this amazing person that God created. Remember what He said to Jeremiah? He said, before I'd even formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you and I knew you. Even before that. Psalm 121. Lord, you created me fearfully and wonderfully. When God looks at us, He doesn't see all the scabs and all the stuff and say, no, 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 I can't deal with that. God sees this beautiful creation that He calls a little masterpiece. Someone wrote it beautifully. Someone said, God does not love us because we are patient and kind, and not jealous and boastful and not rude, not because we don't keep records of the wrong. God loves us because God is patient and kind. Because God does not keep a record of the wrongs. I think John got it right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, this is what love is. Not that we love God, but that God loves us. Because boy, if God had to love us because we loved Him and the way we loved Him, it would have been really difficult. But see, God's love for us is not based on our performance. There's nothing that I can do in my own strength that will make God love me more. There is nothing that I can mess up in my own weakness that will make God love me less. God loves me. And that love never fails, doesn't die, doesn't fall over, doesn't wither, doesn't lose its leaves. It never fails. And even when I wrote that and when I was talking to myself about that, I said, boy, that's hard to wrap my head around. In my language, we would often say, ek kan het nie klein kry nie, which means I can't make it small enough to for my small brain to understand. It's just too big. But thank God I don't have to try and understand it. I just have to accept it and experience it and allow God to love me that way and just let that love flow over me and immerse my whole life, that love that never fails because of who God is. Thank God for that. But here's the coolest thing. And someone needs to hear this morning. God loves you just as you are. And He loves you just as you are with His unfailing love. And because of that, slowly but surely, you change. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 9, and he's quoting Hosea, the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament. And Ted, you'll have it on there. Look at this beautiful, beautiful thing that he says. He says, "I call nobodies and make them somebodies. I call the unloved and make them beloved." Will someone hear that, please? I call nobodies and I make them somebodies. There are no nobodies with God. You're a somebody that is loved with an unfailing love. How can you do that, Lord? Because I love you, Aubrey. But I'm so messed up, Lord, because I love you, Aubrey. But I'm a nobody. No, you're not. You're a somebody. Because I made you, and I don't make nobodies. I make little poems that I can read and love and laugh and say, my love for you is unfailing. Gary and I was thinking we should have sang, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who saved my soul. There's a beautiful song that goes like that. But we are not nobodies. We are somebodies in Jesus Christ who died for you and said, I love you, buddy. And you are lovable. Don't let the world tell you anything else. You're lovable. Even when some days you're not. God loves you. And I thank Him for that. Because boy, where would we have been if God did not love unfailingly? Second thing about this unfailing love. I cannot produce this love. And again, Carrie, you did not. Usually I'll send her the sermons and she'll check for music. I didn't send you the sermon, and yet Abide was perfect because listen to this. This love that God gives that is unfailing, you and I cannot produce that on our own. It is a gift. Remember I said it in the beginning. It's not natural. It is a gift from God, and it's not easy. It is a gift from God. It is a gift that comes as part of the fruit of the Spirit. When Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, what is the first fruit that he names? And this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Starts there. Joy. Peace. Patience. It's interesting. It's also in the love thing. Gentleness. Kindness. Self-control. He goes on with those, but he starts and he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We can't do that on our own. To produce that fruit, maybe we need to go back to John 15 where Jesus was teaching His disciples. And you all know John 15, right? You know exactly what it's about. I am the vine and my Father is the gardener and you are the branches. And that we sang this morning in that song. If you remain in me and I in you, vine branches, you will bear much fruit. But without me, you will bear no fruit. Don't have to be a genius or a farmer to understand that image. the only way that the vine that is connected, the branch that is connected to the vine that is in the ground, can produce fruit is it gets the water and the nutrients and all that stuff, and it flows from the vine into the branch, and that branch then becomes what it needs to be. It's got the leaves, it's got the fruit. You cut it off, you throw it on the ground, it withers and it dies. The only way that I can produce the fruit of love in my life is by being connected to the vine. Because in my connection to the vine, me, little old branch that can't do a thing on my own, I am being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is teaching me this kind of love that loves unconditionally, unfailing, never ending. Because it starts flowing through my body and my veins and my life, and I become more and more like this vine that I am connected to. To love like this is a gift from God. You can't produce it on your own. The only place to find that is on your knees in the presence of your Lord, holding, allowing Him to speak, to minister, to flow into your life. And as you walk in this world, they will taste that fruit and they will want more, and His light will shine and people will see the unfailing love of God. Gerda, it's not easy. It's really difficult. And some days we mess up and we detach. But thank God. Thank God His love is patient, kind, and it does not keep a record of wrongs. And it goes back because it is unfailing, never ending. And it says, come back. Let me give you more. And it comes from Him. So we're going to end. You remember when we started the series, I said, I was at a conference once, and the instructor said, so let's take verses 4 to 7. Time you see the word love, you replace the word love with your own name. So we said, Aubrey is patient and kind. Aubrey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And I already failed. And then we said, but let's replace the word love with the name of Jesus. And we said, Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus is loving. No, stead you too fast with that one. Jesus is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Jesus does not keep a record of being wronged. Jesus' love never fails. And we said, Jesus never fails. And it sounded so right. Today I want us to do something else. And now you can put it up there, Ted. I want us to replace the word love with Jesus and our own name. Thinking of the vine and the branches, if Jesus is in me, allowing me to have that fruit of the Spirit in my life, read with me, and read with me when I come to your name, say your name, please. Jesus in Aubrey. So, when I say that, Peter say that, Alexander say that, all of you say your own name. Let's do that. I know you're Presbyterians and it's hard, but come on, you can do it. It's okay to speak in church. Let's try this. Read it with me, the whole thing. Jesus in Aubrey is patient and kind. Jesus in Aubrey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Jesus in Aubrey does not demand His own way. Jesus in Aubrey is not irritable. Jesus in Aubrey keeps no record of being wronged. Jesus in Aubrey does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Jesus in Aubrey never gives up, never loses faith. Jesus in Aubrey is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Jesus in Aubrey never fails. Amen. Amen. Not Aubrey. I fail. Jesus in Aubrey never fails to love. Because he is the vine and I am the branch. And the branch leeches off that vine and gets it all from that vine, and it becomes this fruit, and we can live this fruit. Are we going to fail tomorrow? Yes. Are you going to be unlovable tomorrow? Yes. Are you going to get angry tomorrow? Yes. But can you go back tomorrow and say, will you please flow more and more through me? And is he going to do that? Yes. Because that's who he is. His love never fails. Never gives up on you. Paul ends that beautiful chapter with a verse that says, there are three things that will last forever. Faith and hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. And I told you this once, if you think about that for a second, faith, it goes this way. Hope, it goes this way. But love, it goes this way. And the greatest of these is love. It's not easy. It's a gift. Go live the gift. Amen. When you leave this morning, I have a challenge for you. For the next 4 weeks, this little thing that we did this morning, I made one of them for you. It's in the back on the tables there, and it's at this door as well. You'll find it. It's lying there. Take one. If you want to take one for your neighbor, that's fine too. I want you to take it home. And for this month of July, every day, take a moment to read through that and remind yourself, Jesus in Aubrey is patient and kind. Jesus in Aubrey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And every day go remind yourself. It's going to take you 3 minutes, 4 minutes to do that. So take them when you go out and challenge yourself for the next 4 weeks. And when you do that, take a few moments to just be quiet. And allow the vine to flow into your branch. All that needs to flow in. Pray that over yourself. And see what God will do. Father, it's been a joy. A scary joy, Lord, in this journey. When you challenge us with this gift. Because we so, like the Corinthians, want to say, Lord, can I speak in tongues or can I do prophecy? And you said, let me show you the most amazing gift, the gift of love. And to live this love every day, Lord, we need you and the fullness of your Spirit in us to live that. Thank you that you do not give up on us when we fail, because your love does not fail. Thank you that when we fall down, you lift us up again. Thank you for the love that showed us what it means to love when you, Lord Jesus, came into our world and took all of our sins into your sinless body. And you said, it is done. It is finished. I love you. Help us to love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.